as the Lord may be pleased to help me, we would direct you prayerfully to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 5 and reading verse 34. Mark 5 and verse 34. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. We would be very mindful of the Lord here speaking to this woman who, it would appear, had touched the hem of his garment. She had faith. A faith, you know, which some of us feel to be gets to a very low ebb, and your hymn has summed it up. Our faith is feeble, we confess, we faintly trust thy word. William Cowper knew it, and so do the child of God. Our faith is feeble, we have to confess it, we get diminished and brought low. We're low numerically tonight, but that doesn't hinder mercifully the work of grace, the work of faith in your souls and mine that have gathered. There is so little to encourage the Lord's servants in our day, not only here, but throughout this earthly ball. But what a mercy if we have the author of faith. That faith of yours and mine has been authorized, has been begun by the Lord himself. Now, as we touched on in prayer, you know, there's a temptation within you and me when the Lord has given you a promise, and it may be a long-standing one, that you might feel in your mind to laugh the promise to scorn. And we're mocking God in it, really, aren't we? But you see, we need the Lord to confirm these things because we're so helpless. We're so prone, aren't we, to wander? Our minds wander hither and thither. We have our own interpretation sometimes of God's word. We get so carnally minded with carnal things which are our lot here below, and how little faith that we have to believe that Jesus is able to perform these miracles. And every chosen vessel, every child of God, every son and daughter that hath received the spirit of adoption and shall be saved with an everlasting salvation will know what it is to be truly tried. And they want confirming evidences, because for the most part we're very much of the earth earthy. But what a mercy that there is this case here, as we, not only this case, these characters that Jesus was dealing with and had from all eternity determined to deal with them. And was it not the purpose of it in manifesting his power? And this great mighty work then of faith that begins in your soul, this woman's faith was doubtless feeble, but it was strong enough. It was strong enough for her to say within herself that if I may but touch, if I may touch. And this is something that the child of God in our day, when Jesus is not manifested in the flesh now, but revealed by the Spirit, that it is that we long for today, a touch. The Lord to warm your cold heart and mind, cold as it is to these things, and our lack of faith, and we need the Lord to strengthen, don't we, if he's begun that good work of faith in your soul. And it is by reason of regenerating grace that he quickens your soul and mine and makes it alive unto God, so we would be coming to him. She had a case, she had a bodily affliction, which none could heal, could they? She had suffered many things of many physicians. But you know, this is that physician. This is that physician that is able to heal that great malady of sin. And so she had to have a malady, and she had to have a felt sense of it. And so the Lord will so reveal this, I believe, to each and every child of God. They'll have this malady of sin. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still. But oh, to feel. Oh, to feel it. And don't you have to pray sometimes that if only you could feel it, the reality of conviction. We confess our sins daily, don't we, before God in our private devotions. We confess that we're sinners and we pray for pardon. Do we really know what it is to have that broken heart and contrition of spirit? Now the Lord in his sovereign mercy will bring a poor sinner there at times to remember. Bring to remembrance your sins and mine, past offences, whereby we have offended God. We have broken this or that commandment, and therefore guilty of breaking all. And we blush and ashamed. When the Lord so pricks a sinner in the conscience, he blushes, or she blushes, and they are ashamed of those past offences that can never be erased from their life. They've done it. They've sinned against God. They've sinned against his holy word. And when they're brought to feel this, their lost condition. Oh, what an oppressed state they will be in when they realise the solemnity of those sins and those transgressions that God hates, and that they must be blotted out, they must be pardoned, if this or that sinner is to be restored and to be healed from this dreadful malady. Now this woman then, blessed character really, and yet a most tried character, having spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, rather grew worse. You see the set time when she had heard of Jesus. Maybe some of us may look back. We trust when we were pricked in the conscience and when we heard of Jesus. We might have not had a promise, might not have had a word, but we were pricked in the conscience. We had heard of Jesus. We'd been trained up under it perhaps, and it had had no effect upon us. But then, like the prodigal, we began to be in one. There was an inquiring mind. There was an exercise within our hearts that we might receive that touch. We coveted perhaps the obituaries that we read, coveted perhaps the good works of dead saints, who though being dead, yet speak it, or were spoken of, as recorded in some autobiography, or in some biographical portion that had afterwards been published of their experiences. The exercise was this: be that religion mine. You see, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the many riches of the wicked. We cannot always see that in our natural pathway, can we, when we're brought in need of something? But when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, touched his garment. All that living faith and exercise for you and me to but touch his garment. And the Lord immediately knew where that touch went, that touch, with the effects of that touch. And when you and I, by the grace of God, feel that touch, when we feel a little softening, when we feel a little union, a little communion with Jesus, He's not there, as I say, in His bodily presence as we are one with another and as He was in these days, because He's now risen. But He still has a human heart. He still carries with Him that scarred body in heaven. Those hands, those feet, and that side that were wounded on Calvary's tree. That same Jesus is going to come again in so like manner, in all His glory, to judge the world in righteousness. And so here we see this very humble pathway of the Lord Jesus while here upon the earth. And this humble woman, all her efforts had been in vain, and she grew worse. And all the efforts of the free willers will grow worse, and they will perish in their sins, except for free and sovereign grace arresting them. You know, we often think, don't we, perhaps, when we look back in their perhaps early days, when those things that we heard of, they seem to be acceptable in our schooling. Take us to the church and we have a service and we thought it was right. Had no idea of the doctrines of free will and free grace. But what has made you and me to differ? Only the teaching of the Spirit. We pity them, don't we, that know nothing of this dependence wholly upon the Lord to quicken our souls and to make us cry for mercy. This woman, you know, she was one of many. One of a great crowd that were surrounding Him. Many came to seek Him for the loaves and the fishes that He'd given them. This woman had a different case. She had a burden of this plague. And you know, we should know the plague of our own heart, our trying circumstances, our afflictions, those things that weigh heavily upon us, and there seems to be no escape or deliverance from them. They are burdens to you, and the Lord will have them to be so. And you'll bring them to the Lord as you're enforced there by the blessed drawing influence of the Spirit. We often quote that hymn, "Could the creature help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus, till reduced to self-despair." And so she came. She said, "If I may touch." Now there's not a word in our mouth, but what the Lord knows it altogether. What a mercy if the Lord put that word in our mouth, that desire in our soul, having heard of Jesus, the fame of Jesus. And all this is the name that you and I will plead, I believe, in this day when the Lord has promised to send His Comforter, the blessed Holy Spirit of truth, to reveal that self to you and me, Himself. And so, you see, the Lord said, "Who touched me?" There was a probing to those disciples around Him. You see, Jesus, knowing that this virtue had gone out of Him, "Who touched my clothes?" This wasn't just the jostling of the people, was it? This was that deliberate touch of that woman she reached for. Why did she reach for? I believe this. Because the Lord drew her to Himself. This is the marvel, isn't it? Jesus draws the chosen race. There's the secret. And has He not drawn you, sinner? Drawn you to come, if I may touch. Lord, permit me. There's no presumption about it. I'm going to touch, if I may. Oh, that blessed, humble way of approaching unto God. It's not rushing into his presence. It's not presuming that God is going to heal you. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt, thou can pardon my sins. If thou wilt, thou can cause me to go in peace and be whole of the plague. Or, you know, do you know the plague of your own heart? You will be shown it, I believe. And one of these greatest sins that a sinner can have is the sin of unbelief. Aren't we painfully learning it, dear friends? Well, I believe I painfully learned the burden of unbelief, the carnality of my heart, the very earthiness of my spirit. But we have to come here, don't we, that without him we can do nothing. What a mercy, you know, to be brought there. Dear friend that was on the telephone this morning from Australia, God-fearing man that is in much affliction and yet says he can look at others and how he feels in a low place, but how he wants the Lord to touch him. In effect, that's what his words were. What a mercy to be brought there. Waiting, watching, pleading, and asking that the Lord in his sovereign mercy will grant that healing touch. Now, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, without faith it is impossible to please God. And there won't be any profit, will there, unless faith is mixed with your hearing? And I thought in prayer, even my own hearing of the words that God gives me to speak in the hour. We each need that faith, don't we? That trusting in the living God, that believing that God reigns, that he's ever mindful even to our smallest and minutest circumstances. He knows all your sins, past, present, and yet to come. And yet those sins, the plague of your sinful heart and mind, all this wretched sin, all thou hideous monster sin. Nor how we have to painfully learn that sin is the cause of all our woe. Not any circumstance that befalls you for good or for evil is unknown to God. Lord, you say, give me that grain of faith of a mustard seed to believe and trust that everything in my life, small or great circumstance, does not happen by chance or by my foolishness or ignorance, but by reason of sin. He causeth it to come for correction. Oh, needful is thy correcting rod, we say. Needful thy correcting rod. Oh, how we tremble at it, don't we? Now, this woman had a rod to correct her. She had this issue. And it had been an issue of 12 years. Oh, how long sometimes will our trials be? Seems no end to them, no deliverance, year after year maybe, for you and me to have that time. But in the end it came, didn't it? In the end the Lord delivered her and drew her. And he knew who it was had touched. And she came, you know, with repentance, didn't she? She came fearing and trembling. Knowing what was done in her. There was that change wrought. There was that healing touch and she felt the effects of it. What a mercy when the Lord grants you that felt effectual cleansing, that healing, that restoring, that delivering mercy. There's a sign and a wonder revealed to you in your time. After 12 years, you see that set time to favour, and then he says, who touched me? To prove it. The Lord knew who touched her. because, as I said, he'd appointed that time for her to touch. And for you too, in yourselves and in your circumstances, a time. We sing it sometimes, don't we? A time he has set to heal up your woes, a season most fit his love to disclose. Oh, you know, you want to hasten his time, don't you? I do. When things beset you, beset with snares on every hand. Oh, the snares, the gins, the snares and the trap that so seem to ensnare you. Take your attention and your time. Leave your affections. Beset with snares on every hand, in life's uncertain path I stand. Your prayer will be, Saviour divine, diffuse thy light and guide my doubtful footsteps right. And he said unto her, she came and fell down before him and told him what? All the truth. You know, you won't hide anything from your God, will you? As you plead Jesus as the one mediator standing in between, you'll tell him all the truth. Samuel told Eli every whit. He didn't hide anything that the Spirit had revealed to him. And the Lord will bring you and me there. You'll tell him all the truth. Oh, what a mercy this is, sir. Came down and fell down before him. You see the humility of this woman, humbled in the dust, unworthy of his notice, and yet comes and tells him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Binds up the brokenhearted, doesn't he? He killeth that he might make alive. Or he brings low that he might lift up. Sets beggars among the princes. Or such is the goodness of the Lord that we read of in his word. These many characters that we read of, especially in these gospels. They didn't come with great boldness of flesh, but with fear and trembling. And Jesus said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, that blessed mercy to hear, daughter or son, thy faith hath made thee whole. Or son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Or daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now all this seemingly was in the midst of the Jesus coming from in request to Jairus, who besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. And then, you see, in his coming, there was this seeming hindrance to go on at Jairus' request. And in the meantime, there came those of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any farther? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And oh, when he came to the house, of course, the child was dead in there, as they thought, but only sleeping, and they laughed him to scorn. You see, in the connection between these things, there was this woman that comes. And you see the connection, the faith in exercise, which is vital to you and me. And if the Lord is the author of your faith, you'll believe in Jesus. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. How many come and worship an unknown God, even in their day? Sometimes we wonder whether we know God or whether we want to know God. Such is the tempter's power within our soul. But then when we're in our right minds, we are persuaded that we have this plague of our own heart. wretched man that I am, vile sinner, not worthy thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, Lord, and my servant shall be healed. So said the centurion. And so the Lord, you know, has promised that his dear people that believe in him shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Daughter, son, thy faith hath made thee whole. Faith is the substance of those things hoped for, the evidence of those things that are not seen. It's looking unto Jesus. And if you're like me, you'll want the Lord to give you clearer views of the Lord Jesus. You want him to be truly formed without doubts, without question in your soul as the hope of glory. You want him to be the chiefest among 10,000 to you, the altogether lovely one. Lord, how can I live and die without some confirmation that thou art the Son of God, that thou art the Saviour, that thou didst come and seek out and to save lost sinners such as me? Or that I might then go in peace. Jesus has said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But our hearts are troubled often, they are afraid. The hymn writer says, why art thou afraid to come? Why afraid to tell thy case? He will not pronounce thy doom. Smiles are seated on his face. Or when the Lord then draws a poor sinner, he comes. And faith it is in exercise to seek to touch, receive that touch, to receive those restoring mercies. A desire for the Lord to say unto our souls, I am thy salvation. Go in peace. Go in peace. All this is that peace of God that passeth all knowledge of understanding. When the Lord so blesses his dear people with that peace that passeth all knowledge of understanding, my peace I leave with you, he says. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of God, everlasting peace and righteousness. Now he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, what a mercy that this peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's that everlasting love, isn't it, that's being fulfilled and manifested to a poor sinner when he says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. It's a free and sovereign gift of God through his grace. Grace is free, and it's all through the merits of Jesus, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world for the sins of his people. And the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knew this woman from all eternity. And he knows you from all eternity and me from all eternity. And we trust we shall be saved at last. Saved from our wretched, sinful, vile deeds and acts and thoughts and words that have come out of this body. That's what defileth a man, isn't it? Our sins, it's that that cometh out of a man that defileth a man. Not that what's going out goes into a man. All talking about, weren't they washed, eating with unwashing hands. It's that that goeth out of a man. Or every thought and act impure. but the blood of Christ, thy soul can cure. Here's that precious blood, friends. That woman that had this issue of blood, she needed the blood of Christ. It's truly, as we sung, "Heal us, Emmanuel, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch, deep wounded souls to thee repair. Saviour, we are such." We sing the language, we're familiar of it. Do we feel it in our souls? Lord, you say then, do grant that I might have the religion of this woman. She said within herself, she said, if I may but touch his garment. I think elsewhere in one of the Gospels it said, she said within herself, if I may but touch, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And she touched. Because it was the appointed time for her to touch and to receive that token of his everlasting love. He wouldn't tell those of the devil to go in peace, would he? He sent, didn't he, the devil out of this man, legion, into those swine that went down into the sea. There were 2,000 choked in the sea. The devils perished. But that man was saved. And here we see then this peace, this everlasting peace, this righteousness imputed to a poor sinner, this salvation of their souls, because Jesus has redeemed them from the curse of the broken law. So go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You see, the Lord's characters that he is determined to save are from the all walks of life. But ye have not chosen me, he says, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth real fruit. Fruits meet for repentance, godly sorrow for your sins, making you a mourner in Zion, and all to hear that blessed voice saying, the son, thy sins are forgiven thee, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace. Blessed then, daughter of the Lord. Therefore he says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. See, the Lord himself has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation, and he will form himself in the hearts of his chosen people. And he'll be their hope for glory and for eternal salvation, delivered from eternal wrath, made wise unto salvation through living faith, which lives and labours under load, though damned, it will never die. Ah, our faith is often feeble, isn't it? Often damned, but will never die. And our hopes are ever built upon the merits of the dear Son of God. Daughter, thy faith and thy behalf. Are you looking then? Are you looking to the Lord Jesus to favour you with this blessing that shall enrich your soul? You want that blessed assurance. You want the Lord to draw you by that sweet, resistless grace. You want him to draw you and to favour you, to feel that union and communion with him, for him to visit you with his mighty love, because it's out of love to this woman that he should bless her with that touch, bless her with that healing virtue, and favour her to know Jesus Christ as that wise physician. Oh, they that are whole need not another physician, they that are sick. All this is then for sin-sick souls, for burdened sinners, for afflicted saints, those that have much to cause them anxiety of soul and mind. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's one that carries a poor sinner through the wilderness world in all their afflictions. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Go in peace, be whole of thy plague. Oh, what rejoicing did that woman have? She went on her way rejoicing, believing that thou art the Son of God, blessed Saviour. Oh, that he in his sovereign mercy then might encourage you and me to come. Come all ye that fear God, and I will declare unto you what he has done for my soul. And like this man that was legion, when he was coming to the ship, he prayed that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. Suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And that remark applies to the child of God. It applies to these characters here in these trying scenes that they had to pass through, but they were chosen vessels. He'd had compassion upon them. And what a mercy he does have compassion upon his dear chosen people as he draws them. They may come, but feeling their only hope is in the merits of Jesus. And what a mercy to be brought there. No hope in these physicians is you've tried them all. And though we use the earthly physicians, it is only as the means are blessed by God that they'll be profitable to us. That is, in restoring or healing or alleviating suffering. But you see this, the Lord had compassion upon them. He compassionates the cases of his dear people. He answers their prayer. But as we said earlier, this woman had to wait 12 years. What a long wait. What a trial. And yet through mercy, she was brought to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Though our exercise will be this, if our trials are sanctified, that they might bring us closer to him, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his death. Crucified to the world and the world unto us. Lord, do give me grace then, you say, and do grant me that peace. Oh, you're anxious to know your sins forgiven. Lord, tell me thou hast pardoned all my sins, that thou hast blessed me with the forgiveness of my sins, for blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered, transgressions are covered. Lord, you say, cover them with the mantle of my forgiving love. I shall sin to my dying day, but Lord, may I have that blessed assurance that I might go in peace, that thy peace through thy precious blood has blotted out my sins as a thick cloud, and that I shall find through mercy that I shall get to heaven at last. Oh, what a mercy then that Jesus Christ is found to you and me as this it was to this woman, the one thing needful, for I without him perish must. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Restoring unto a poor sinner the joy of his salvation, or covering even the shadow of a spot with that glorious robe of his righteousness. For if sin be pardoned, I am secure, death hath no sting beside, The law gave sin its damning power, but Christ, my ransom, died. But we will leave it there, friends. May the Lord add his blessing and forgive all amiss. Amen.
We conclude in singing hymn 377 to the tune 283. My soul, take courage from the Lord, believe and plead his holy word. To him alone do thou complain, nor shall thou seek his face in vain. Upon him call in humble prayer, thou still art his peculiar care. He'll surely turn and smile again, nor shall thou seek his face in vain. Hymn 377.
Oh.
of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.